ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts, mine included. I want to learn from you right now. I want you to put things in my heart and mind that amaze me and that amaze other people. Not that they would be amazed at me, but that we could all be amazed at the wonders that you reveal to us by your Spirit. Your Spirit that gives life to your Word. As we spend our time in the secret place, in a place of quiet, no one else around. Or if we don't have a place like that, to treat whatever place we're in as if no one else was around. And it was just the Lord and me. Just you and me, Lord, together. And as I read your word, I look to you with my eyes of faith, hoping, believing that your heart, your daddy, father heart, just wants to speak to my heart and give me understanding into the beautiful words that you have written to us in your word, the Bible. Lord, we ask that as we read your Bible on our own, that you would teach, you would help us to train our hearts, to teach our hearts to have faith that you're going to be right there with us, reading with us, even reading it to us. I like to go out into the world and in a coffee shop or a restaurant or wherever I'm at, walking down the street and catch somebody's eye. And there's something that happens. It's like my heart all of a sudden wants to say something to them. And I, by faith, walk over to them, many times not knowing what I'm going to say. But my eyes have a look in them that believes that there's something of value in them, something beautiful. And words start just coming up in me as I open my mouth. Many times the word doesn't even start until I open my mouth. And then the words just start coming. I might just have one word, one solitary word that comes to my mind. And I go over there and I ask the person, can I tell you something? And I'll say this word. And then all the other words just start bubbling up out of me. And I speak words of encouragement, tenderness, comfort. Sometimes there's something that is even in that person's life that's in the way of them communicating with God. Might be a fear, could be a sin. God can say anything he wants. I have to be willing and faithful and courageous enough to speak whatever God gives to me. Some of the people aren't going to want to hear it. That doesn't mean it wasn't from God. For he tells us that we're going to be rejected for speaking His word, just like He was rejected. He built people up, but He also pointed out sin that is wrong, that's keeping people, like the man who He healed. One of the men He healed, I can't remember which healing it was now, but he said to him, "Now, as you go now, don't sin anymore, so that nothing worse befalls you." We don't usually hear that one quoted too much. We usually hear the one quoted that, you know, that He healed everybody, and but sometimes there's a place for being willing to speak the difficult things to people. Whether they're the people who are down and out, who are at their bottom's end, who have no more hope, or whether they're the people who seem to be doing well, whether they're rich and famous in the world, or they're highly respected in the church. We need to be willing to speak the truth, whether it's a nice word or whether it's a difficult one. Because there are people who are not going to want to hear, and there are people that it's going to build up immediately. But sometimes, before you can build up, you got to point out that there's a crack in your foundation there. And before we can build this area up, we need to take out that bitterness, or we're going to build on a poor foundation. So we don't want to do that. So don't be afraid. Look for the Holy Spirit to give you the right heart in doing it. I've tried doing it in bitterness before. It doesn't work. It can only make things worse. At least I tried. The Lord has been correcting my heart daily. And I think I've learned how to speak the difficult things now without causing more trouble. But we can each have that relationship with God, like I'm just speaking about, that you hear from God's heart and you just want to give it to others. The key is taking the correction from God wherever you can get it. Take the correction from the one who's way below you. Maybe he isn't even a Christian, but he sees something in you that doesn't look good, and he tells you, and you want to come back, "Yeah, well, you're just..." No. God may have sent that donkey to you to correct you, like he sent a donkey to the prophet Balaam, and he corrected him. I need to be able to listen to correction from anyone and not just pass it off because that person may not have any high standing. I need to listen and ask God, "Is this from you? It doesn't fit with what I believe. Are you trying to tell me something that I've been unwilling to hear and you had to use this person to tell me?" That's the kind of heart. See, that's the humility of heart that God is looking for. And I still have areas where I don't want to listen. I'm a driver, driver for hire. I drove taxi for 19 years. I've been driving a car service, a limo service for 23 years now. Been a driver all my life. I don't like it when people try to give me directions when I already know where I'm going. If I didn't know, I would ask, and they would tell me. But if they start saying, oh, you got to turn here, I go, that's what I was doing. See, I don't like that. It hurts my pride. I'm still working on, God's still working on that with me. It's not good looking to exalt yourself with pride. We seem to think that it's okay to take pride in this and take pride in that. But where in the Bible does it tell us that we should be proud of something? Isn't everything we got given to us? Isn't everything we have, wasn't it given to us? Then why would I take pride in it? I would say, if I were to take pride in it, then I wouldn't thank God for it. Because it was by my own hand, or my own wit, or my own ability. Even my belief in Scripture, it comes from God. Or if I've done it on my own, and I don't want to give it up because of my pride, that makes a hard situation for God to deal with. How is God going to get through to us? Just like he couldn't get through to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. They didn't want to listen because they had it already all figured out. And they didn't need this upstart coming from Nazareth. What good can come out of Nazareth? They didn't want to listen to him either. We need to be able to listen. And honestly, with an honest heart, really check it out. It might be something that God is going to deliver us from. So when we do get to heaven, that whole part of our belief system doesn't burn up. Because whatever is not of God that we receive through faith is going to burn. So we want our belief system to be founded by the Holy Spirit giving it life in us. Not just because our group believes this way. So we each need to be spending time in God's Word, listening for the Holy Spirit to give life to His Word. When we do that, God is going to honor us. God honors us. I've made a lot of progress in my Christian life with being able to hear God's voice in different situations and have confidence, not just because I've done this before, I've gone up to people and talked to them before, well, so have Jehovah's Witnesses. So have Mormons. So have this group or that group. Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit did it in them. So I want my confidence to be in the Holy Spirit. Not just because I have a group of other people with me. Now, I hope that there is a whole group of people who I have fellowship with, but I can't wait for that. I have to follow the Holy Spirit giving life to the Word in me and be obedient to God. He is my leader. He is my father. He is my teacher. And I listen to everyone who wants to speak to me. But then whatever they say, I bring to the Lord and say, God, is he right? Am I wrong here? If you do this, you won't stumble, because you'll be founded on the rock, not on the sands of man's teachings. That you will build a sandcastle out of. Water, the word of God, and man's thoughts, sand, you will build a sandcastle. But if you want to build it on the solid rock, like Moses gave them water out of that big solid rock, that big solid rock clefted for them. It made an opening just for them. Now that's miraculous. God can split his way into us whenever we humble ourselves before him and determine, I want my life to be built on the solid rock of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Then no matter what teaching I listen to, I will be able to not judge with my own thinking, but judge with righteous judgment, because God alone is righteous. But if I subject myself to the Word and to the Spirit, then I have God in me. And he will give me his judgment on any matter. And I will have discernment by the Spirit and the Word together. And they will be in agreement. And I will be able to discern whatever word comes to me, whether it's from God or if it's from man's thinking. I must have my faith on the only wise God. The only wise God is God himself. And each one of us, whether you have known God for a long time, or whether you're just an absolute beginner, I came to God this way without even knowing God. I was reading his word. All of a sudden, he revealed himself to me in his word, by his Spirit. Nobody talked to me. And I kept reading and learning. Eventually, I got off track, and I quit listening to his Spirit, and I just listened to men's teachings. And I got way off balance. Now again, something wrong with listening to men teaching. You're listening to me now. But see, I don't want you to be dependent on me. What I want to do is encourage your dependence on God and the Holy Spirit. And I may even tell you some of my doctrinal beliefs. But unless you hear from the Holy Spirit yourself, don't believe them. Say, well, that's nice. I don't know. Don't let anyone sell you a package of goods because it sounds good. We've all bought something from a salesman before that didn't turn out to be so good. It's no different in the church. There's doctrines galore out there every wind of doctrine. I want God's people to be so solid with God and His Word by His Spirit that when a wind of doctrine comes along, they'll say, eh. You believe that? They'll be able to spot and discern what's wrong. They may say, well, I don't know about that. God, is this right? And then God will show. So take the time. Take the time. It's good to fellowship, to worship together. Oh, it's so beautiful. I love just listening to her singing a little while ago. I didn't know the words, but I could feel the Spirit flowing through them and from her heart. It's beautiful. I love doing that. It's good to have times together in fellowship, discussing God's Word, speaking about what God's just shown me or what He's shown you. But in order to do that, we each need to have our own time with Him. The lady who, I don't even know her name, she told me before, but I know her heart is beautiful. Being able to fellowship together in song and in words, it's beautiful. I bet you she spends time with God every day when no one else is around. Or maybe in the middle of the night she gets up with something on her heart that she brings to God in prayer. She prays. She loves God. You see, when you love somebody, don't just leave that love in your heart and say, well, I have love for that person. Do something with it. Express that love, or you've kind of buried that love in a tomb of your heart. It won't do anybody any good. The love needs to be expressed and shown. You've buried it. Jesus in us needs to be lived out in this world. The love that Jesus puts in our hearts, we have to have the courage to show to people. Or, out of fear, we've buried Jesus in our heart. When you bury something or someone, you put them to death. Yeah. In Hebrews, it talks about putting Christ to death in us a second time. We spend time with God because we love Him, and we believe that spending time with Him is valuable, and we believe Him that He says He will bless us for doing something. I'm reading through the Bible, and I put it online and so people can listen to it. I record it. And the recording for today was Exodus 5 and 6. And in Exodus 6, Moses has been commissioned by God to go to Egypt and to deliver God's people out of the Egyptians' hands, because they were slaves in Egypt at this time. And so God gave Moses some signs to show the people so that they would listen to him. So he shows these signs to the people, and the people are all, wow, this is great. God's going to deliver us. Yay. Go on, go talk to Pharaoh. You go tell him, Moses. So he goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I'm not letting the people go. Why would I do that? get out of here. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to increase the work that they're doing. I used to give them straw for them making bricks. I'm not doing that anymore. If they have time to think about what they would like to be doing, they need to work harder. They're going to have to find their own straw and still make the bricks for me. And the people cry out, "What is going on? You were supposed to deliver us, Moses." So Moses comes back to God and says, "God, what's happening? How come this is going the wrong way? We're supposed to be leaving." So God says to Moses, "Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Now Moses spoke this to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency because of the cruel bondage they were under. That's why it's hard for us to have faith. We've been so discouraged in life that, you know, a kid who's had an okay life, he can have hope. But if that hope has been crushed over and over and over and over again, you go to him and as an adult now, and his hopes have been crushed so many times that you go tell him something and he can't hear it. Because of despondency, because life, he's been under a cruel bondage. It's hard to speak life to that person because they can't hear it. Have you ever felt that way? I have. That's why it's hard for us to go and pick up that Bible, because we think it's just going to be boring and dull, and I'm not going to understand it anyway. It's going to be dry. So even though the thought comes to us to pick it up and read it, we walk on by, because that feeling comes across and we listen to it rather than putting our faith in God again. We do like the children of Israel did, and we respond out of our despondency and unbelief, because now our lack of faith has grown to unbelief. And we have a hard time. So that's why I'm speaking to you this way. I recognize that you, like me, have had some despondency and unbelief because of your past experience with life. And I'm trying to speak, melt that away a little bit, maybe even put a crack in that hardened heart. Maybe get around the hardened heart to the to the seed that's behind it, that's buried under the hard ground. I'm trying to soften the ground so your heart will have hope again. Hope that God does really care. So now listen to what happened next back here in Exodus 6, verse 10. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the sons of Israel go out of his land." But Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, "Behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech." I struggle with that when I want to go out and talk to people. I'm afraid they're not going to listen. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge. He gave them a strong, compelling commission, a charge to the sons of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt. What happened next? Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh, that he let the sons of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt." So why does God make things difficult for us? So that when we do break down that door, God's going to get more glory, and we're going to be stronger for our determination at that point. If we keep on without giving up, that's what he's looking to build in our hearts. He doesn't just want us to remain as little children who give up after trying something for 3 seconds. He's trying to grow us up, that we will keep at something and keep at something. That's how we get stronger at it. And as we keep at it and our strength grows, then when we succeed, you know, if we succeeded right away, we'd say, "Oh, that was nice. Oh, wasn't that good? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah. Oh, well, what do we do tomorrow?" But if you've been trying something for years and then you succeed, oh, you're not just going to say, "Oh, that was nice." You're going to invite all your friends and have a big party, and you're going to celebrate. And you're going to say, "Wow, that was worth it. It was worth all the struggles that I've had in my life. They were worth it. Because now I've overcome." See, if you didn't have any struggles, you wouldn't have anything to overcome. And what would be the glory in that? No glory. A person who gets everything in life, everything goes well, there's no glory in that. But the person who struggles in life and doesn't give up and pushes and pushes and pushes his faith towards God, the longer God holds it back from you, just like he did with the children of Israel, just like he did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, King David, how long did he wait before he actually, after being anointed king, he had to wait for years and years and years before he was actually established as king. The longer he holds it from us, and the more we learn to be persistent anyway, even if we don't get the reward, Then when we've overcome all those trials and tribulations in life and have been found to be faithful to God in the end, you see, we're not really supposed to be working for glories and riches in this life anyway. We're supposed to be building them up in heaven. Well, if we received what was promised here, then we've already received it. But if we're working in this life to receive glory and riches and honor and wealth in heaven, you see where I'm going with this? That's got to be our outlook. Not to make things life easier on this earth, but to make life glorious when we get to heaven. And we'll be living in that glory for, you know, at least 5 years. Oh, wait. Or is it 10? No, I think it's 100. Oh, wait a minute. It's 1,000. No, 1,000,000. 1,000,000,000? Ooh, no. Not even just 1,000,000,000,000. Forever. Without end. Isn't that worth going through the trials and tribulations that we have here? To be rewarded in heaven that we will have forever? Yeah, it doesn't compare. There's no comparison. It's our faith that God loves us and He wants good for us that gives us the heart to endure trials and tribulations now. And now, even now, I can smile at them. I'm not afraid of them so much. I'm not afraid of trials and tribulations so much. I'm not afraid of what men can do to me. You know, that statement I'm making there is still being tested. But I'm learning to not fear. I'm learning to smile when the trial and tribulation hits. And to see past it, to see around it, to know that it can't take me out of heaven. It's only by me fearing it that I can stumble. If instead of fearing it, I would fear losing the intimacy with God and losing, making all my riches in heaven to no account, then I won't be fearing that trial or that man who's coming threatening me. It may be a policeman, maybe a military man, maybe the courts, it may be a bad man. It may be the seizure of all my property. In the book of Acts, it says, "And you gladly accepted the seizure of your property, knowing that your inheritance is in heaven." We don't know this kind of persecution in America yet. But, you know, a lot of people are talking that it's coming soon. And that's the sense I have. I've had that sense for a while now, and I keep thinking it's going to be in a couple of years and hasn't transpired yet. But I think it's upon us now. Be ready. grab a hold of the Word of God and read it. If you have trouble reading and you would like to hear me read it to you, you can go to my website, which is lightoftheworld. And just listen to me read it to you. I so love reading God's Word. I feel God's heart wanting to speak the words through my mouth to people's hearts. It just feels so wondrous to be able to do that. I love listening to it myself, even though it's me talking. It's because it's the Word of God, and I listen to the Lord speak to me through it. The Old Testament, the book of Genesis, oh, there's just so many wonderful things. It's like reading a novel. It's stories after stories after stories, but they're all connected. It's not just a Bible story here or there. It's God's heart being shown to the people. It's so beautiful. Makes me cry at times. Story of Isaac and the servant going back to his father's land, Abraham's land, to get a wife for Isaac. That story, chapter 24 in Genesis 24, is so beautiful. And there's the story of Joseph when he reveals himself to his brothers. Is that chapter 45? The other one was 24, and I think this one is 45. Go to my website and just scroll back and listen to at least those two chapters. And if that doesn't prompt you to want to listen to the whole book, I know it will. Is there anyone who would like prayer? Because what I've said here has touched your heart, and you want your heart to be able to drink in the Holy Spirit yourself. Now, instead of asking me to pray for somebody else in your life, that's good. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But right now, you see, it's you. It's you who needs the prayer. It's me who needs the prayer. And if I have somebody in my life that I want God to help them, the best one to do that, if you have somebody in your life, the best one to do that is you. It's you. You're the tool. So I would rather pray for you to be able to hear from God in such an intimate and close way that when you pray for that person yourself, that you will see God's heart, feel God's heart for them, and that having God's heart worked up inside of you, it will inspire the right words and the right tenderness and the right whatever that person needs. God will tell you. That's what I want to pray for. If that's you, I don't want to just pray that you will get this or that. I want to pray for your heart, that you will know how to go through the tribulation or the trial that you're in, that God will I want to agree with you that God will help you and that He will use this trial for you to cry out to Him so you can then hear Him, but that you'll continue to do that, not just with trials. Don't make God continue giving you trials in order to teach you how to come to Him. Rather, just keep coming to Him every day and you won't need the trials as much. And that's the purpose of the trials, is to bring you to Him. It's one of the purposes. And remember, He disciplines every son whom He receives. So if there's somebody that you have in your life also, besides praying for you, if there's somebody that you have in your life that you want God to touch, then I would also like to pray for you that God would give you His words and let you see from His perspective into that person's heart, that you can go to that person and speak God's words to them. And that it'll come from you. That you don't have to go get them to come to a conference. You don't have to go get them and bring them to some other man of God. You are the man or woman of God in that person's life. And you, I want to help to empower you to believe that you can be a Moses. You can be an Aaron. You can be a Joseph in your world. You. Because, see, Moses didn't think he could because he was slow of speech. Well, I'm not a good speaker. I've never been educated. Well, he had been educated, but he was a slow speaker. But the disciples, they had never been educated. But God can do all things. The things that are impossible for man to do, God can do. Even with the likes of you and me. Anyone like prayer? Well, let me pray for you. A prayer of anointing and empowerment. That you, maybe it's just that God would help you to hear His word as you read it and understand it. Maybe you want prayer for an anointing from God that when you read His word, that you can trust that He will give you understanding. As if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. And it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. Because you know the one who doubts can't expect to receive anything from the Lord. But if you do have doubts in your mind, don't listen to him and do it anyway. See, that's not doubting then. That's rejecting the doubts. We all have doubts in our minds. Just having the doubt in our mind is like a temptation. By not listening to them to that temptation or to that doubt and going ahead and doing what God tells us to do anyway, that's courageous faith. And that's what God is looking for. And that's what God answers. He will answer your prayer. If it's a prayer that fulfills His desires, if it's a prayer for good, and a prayer in faith, according to God's word, He's going to answer that. And He wants you to have an intimate understanding of Himself through his word. So, Lord, I pray for everyone listening. I pray an anointing through the name of Jesus that we can do all things through Christ who is my strength. And you love to give us wisdom. You love to give us understanding. You love to speak to our hearts, just like any good daddy does, any good father does. He loves it when there's children come to him with humble hearts, but hearts believing that he's a good father and that he wants to cleanse us from our sins, to give us a new heart of faith and love and joy and peace, of all the good things that he can build up in us as we push out the bad and are able to be filled with the good. So I ask this blessing on everyone here in the name of Jesus.